lives in shackles, my spirit broken down. The dreams that once soared had come crashing to the ground.
But when the Savior came knocking,
and when I let him in, he picked up the pieces, made me over again.
Ever since he came,
since Jesus came and pardoned every sin,
I'm not the same.
I'm not the same. No, I've been born again.
I'll tell the world.
I'll tell the world of peace and love I've found, and sing of true joy that abounds ever since he came. His hands made the heavens, his word made the seas. His voice sets the compass on the face of the deep.
But when I
knelt at the altar and from sadness I cried, his hand gently wiped every tear from my eye.
Ever since he came,
since Jesus came and pardoned every sin,
I'm not the same.
I'm not the same. No, I've been born again.
I'll tell the world.
I'll tell the world of peace and love I found, and sing of true joy that abounds ever since he came.
Ever since he came,
since Jesus came and pardoned every sin,
I'm not the same.
I'm not the same. No, I've been born again.
I'll tell the world.
I'll tell the world of peace and love I found, and sing of true joy that abounds ever since he came. And sing of true joy that abounds ever since he came.
Amen. I like that, men. That's a blessing. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2. Sound room, every now and then I get the sensation of my sound going dead. You're not doing something to me, are you? If you are, me and Jesus don't appreciate it. No, every now and then I think it's a little, I don't know what it is. It's a little problem. Do you hear it every now and then go out? You thought it was you, didn't you? You would, Brother Bruce. All right, open your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I thought maybe a sound man was up there going, mute, unmute, mute, unmute, mute, unmute. I'm going to be careful and watch. It just went out. I'm going to be careful and watch when it goes out. If it's on tithing or separation, I don't know. I think it's a transmission problem. All right, have you found your place in Hebrews chapter 11? We've solved all the electrical problems and transmission problems of the world, so you didn't know a microphone had a transmission, did you? Hebrews chapter 11, James chapter 2. The Bible says in verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. How did the elders obtain a good report? Because of faith. Because they practiced faith living. They lived by faith. Look at verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now then, turn over to James chapter 2. And in James chapter 2, we have this amazing passage of Scripture that deals with our faith and the Christian being justified in the sight of men by their faith, by their works. Now, God can see our faith, but people cannot see our faith except they see it demonstrated in our works and our service, our faithful service. So, that's what he's talking about in James. Paul is saying, when it comes to getting saved, we're justified by faith without works. God can see our faith and save us. But man cannot see man's faith. So in James, he's teaching us that man is justified in the eyes of men by our works. Our faith is seen by our works. Now the Bible says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought him his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, nowhere in this passage is James talking about a sinner getting saved. He is talking about a Christian displaying his faith by his service and by his works. And I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. Is your faith a living faith? Or is it a dead faith? Is it a living faith? Or is it a dead faith? Heavenly Father, help me tonight in the next few moments to bring this message to challenge the hearts of God's people to serve you and live in such a way that those around us might see in us, through faithful service, our faith in the living God. Just telling everybody we have faith is not enough. God wants to see evidence of our faith in our faithfulness and our service to our living God. How can we say we believe in God and that God is alive and real and we don't serve Him? Help us, Heavenly Father, that we might look into our own heart and ask the question, is my faith a living faith? Or if I put it to the test of the Scripture, is it dead? The Lord, fill me and use me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In most Christians' lives, they seldom use what faith they have after they accept Christ as their Savior. Instead of living in the realm of faith, too many Christians live in the realm or continue to live in the realm of feeling and sight. Though the Creator of all the universe is our God, and He desires for us to trust Him and depend upon Him, most Christians live as if there was no God. Did you hear what I said? though he is creator of all that is and the universe itself, and he wants us to trust him and depend on him. Most of us live as if there is no God. We seldom ever talk to him. We never do anything that requires trusting him. And we'll do and try everything in this world before we turn to him by faith and ask for his help and intervention. Many never call upon him. They never seek his will for their lives. Nor do they ever try to do anything for his glory that would seem impossible to other people. They're just content to roll with the flow, never trusting God, never asking God to help them to do something beyond their ability, beyond their talents, beyond their educational ability. The dead faith in many believers' lives is a carryover from the dead and formal religious services at their local churches. Now, I want you to know that most Christians that live with a faith that seems to be dead are doing so because they're a part of a church that's just as dead. Our church, our worship ought to challenge us to live for God. It ought to challenge us to believe God and trust God. It ought to challenge us to say, Lord, if you'll come unto me, I'll get out of this boat and walk on the water. It ought to challenge us to take a step of faith and go to Romania to preach the gospel, or to go to Croatia and preach the Word of God, or go to this place or that place to serve Him in the will of God. We worship and serve a living Savior, and our worship services ought to be alive and exciting and life-changing. By the way, how many of your lives have been changed since you got saved? How many of your lives have been changed for God and good since you became a part of this church? By the way, Norris, I like the improvement, sir. Thank you. Thank you for hearing preaching and instruction and showing faith by obeying the Word of God. Away with the dead, sterile, lifeless church services where people sleep the sleep of indifference and the only activity in that church is a rush for the exits when we say amen. A living and active faith is so essential to the Christian life as we serve God in His local church, that God declares that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And He goes a step further in Romans 14:23 and declares, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now let's look at that and compare it to the Christian life. So it is possible to live a Christian life that is a life of sin. Yes, it is. Not living in immorality or not living as a thief or a drunkard or a dope addict, just a Christian living without a living, active faith going on in their life. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Scripture says. In Hebrews 11:1, Paul reminds us that the real living and active faith turns our hope into substance. And it makes things not seen to become very evident and clear to us. If we're going to accomplish for God in 2007 what He's laid on my heart as pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, then we as Christians and members of this church are going to have to be people of a living and active faith. Some of you are going to have revival in your heart and your soul because your faith appears to be dead. Your Christian life seems to be lifeless. It's fruitless, with no vision, no service for our Lord. For our message tonight on this first Sunday night in the last month of 2006, I want to point out some facts about a Christian's faith that's alive and active today. Number one, the source of living faith is the living God and His living Word. Now, faith only comes from God. It comes from God, and it comes from God through His Word. You're not going to get it at Walmart. You're not going to get it off of television. You're going to get it from His book. One of the great sins of Bible-believing Baptists is we read more books about the Bible and about God than we read the Bible itself. But I don't know that my faith comes by the come from the words of a preacher when he's talking about his ideas, but I do know they come. Our faith comes from God when He's preaching the Word of God. So there's only one source of faith, and that's God, and it comes from God and from the living Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And let me tell you what many of us are doing. We're listening to the complaining murmurs of men who say you can't do it today, instead of listening to a living God who says all things are possible with Him. If you're going to have living faith, you cannot listen to the complainer. You cannot listen to the person that says it cannot be done. Remember that God has told us living faith turns hope into substance and things not seen into reality. If we're going to have a living faith, then we have to put ourselves in the place where we can hear the Word of God preached and taught. And guess what that place is? His local church. You're not going to find a great Christian of faith sitting home on Sundays. You're not going to find a great Christian of faith with our little home church. You're not going to find a great Christian of faith in a church that meets one time a week. I'm so fed up with these preachers that are so overworked they have to prepare a sermon a week. Oh my soul. That's a disgrace to every working man here. That's a shame to every individual who works 40 hours or more a week to provide for his family, and the preacher acts as though preaching one sermon is being overworked. I tell our staff that we ought to put in 40 hours of week of work every week, and then, like you, go to visitation. Work the bus route. Come to worship service. I don't count church as part of my work week. This is my worship time. This is not for you, it's for Him. It's when we come together and worship and serve our Savior. The old devil is working overtime and people are swallowing it. We've got so many people in the pews that are filled with faith that's dead. They like it when they only have to come to church once a week. They like it when the preacher only preaches one message a week. They like it when they're not faced with an invitation. But let me tell you, as Christians, if we're going to live for God in this old wicked world, we've got to have a living, active faith. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I want to point out, It didn't say faith comes just by reading. I don't believe you can substitute reading the Word of God for hearing it preached. Now, I didn't say that. God said it. He said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we're going to have living, active faith, we've got to put ourselves in the place where we're going to hear the Word of God preached, and preached without compromise. That means every Christian needs a pastor and a church that's faithful to preach and teach the Word of God. Your flesh may not like it, but it's essential to you if you're going to grow in grace and have a living, active faith that will take you out of the realm of sight and feeling living. All living faith comes from God. It's His gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is a gift to us. But I'm sad to say that too many Christians never go beyond the faith God gives you to get saved. God wants you to take that and go beyond that. He wants that faith to grow so that you'll not only trust Him for your soul, you'll trust Him in your service, you'll trust Him in your living, you'll trust Him in your business, you'll trust Him in raising a family. He wants you to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And you walk by faith. As that faith grows and you exercise that faith, and that faith will never grow if you don't get yourself in the place of the hearing of the Word of God. It's no accident those who come regularly, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, are spiritually stronger than those that come on Sunday morning only. That's no accident. They just get a complete dose of the Word of God. They're put under the preaching of the Word of God. They ought to be stronger. A person who eats one meal a week is going to be a lot skinnier, thinner, unhealthy than the person who eats regular meals every day throughout the week. All living faith comes from God. He's our only source of faith. Our living and active faith is founded on the honesty of God, who cannot lie. God said it, I can trust it. God said it, I can believe it. God said it, I should practice it. Faith is based on the honesty of God. He cannot lie. It's based on the one who is all powerful. Everything He promises to do, He's able to do it. But it's also based on the one of whom all authority in heaven and earth rest. And that's our Savior. The more you walk with God and live by His Word, the more your faith will be alive and active. Secondly, living and active faith answers unanswerable questions. There's a lot of things about life I don't understand. There's a lot of things about eternity I don't understand. But I believe what He tells me in His Word. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand. We understand. Have you ever looked at a math problem or an algebra problem, and you say, man, I just can't get it. All of a sudden, the light turns on, and you say, oh, I understand. Well, I look at this complex universe, I can't tell you all about the universe, but I understand how it's made. I understand because I believe the Word of God. For by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, faith answers the question about what happens after death and beyond. I mentioned it this morning. Job asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? And then he answered it. In my flesh, after death, I shall see God. The book of the Revelation gives us a glimpse of saints after this life around the throne worshiping God. We study through the Scripture. We read where Jesus promises after this life is over for the saved that He's prepared a mansion for us in heaven. Now, I believe that. I believe that. Away with the modernist that says, no, it's just a big overrated motel. Rooms. That's what the new version is. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, I've stayed in motels of all kinds with rooms. I've stayed with in the expensive ones, the plush ones, and I've stayed in Dirty Gerties and Shaggy Maggies motel. But I've never seen a motel that reminded me of heaven. And God said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. See, faith answers the questions about what happens after death. Paul writes again in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, if our body dies. That's what he's saying. We have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God's got a new body for us, waiting for us in glory. Oh, God's word answers faith. Answers the questions about death and beyond death. Faith answers the questions of where we came from. The scientist would say, there was a big bang, and some little wiggly one-celled something wiggled around, and that cell began to divide, and he became a more complex being, and had some bumps come out on him, and they turned out to be feet, and had a long tail, and hands came out, and he crawled out of the ocean and wore his tail off, and then began to stand up and walk upright, and there's man. I got a better answer for that. You know, it takes more to believe that nonsense than to believe God. God won't lie, but man will. And the Bible tells us where we came from. Genesis 1. You don't have to read through the first chapter to find out where man came from. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Let me tell you something else. The Bible lets us know it didn't happen. God's creation of man didn't happen over millions of years. He says, talking about the creation of man, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, and the sixth day He created man. Wow. The Bible. Faith answers the question about the future. What's going to happen in days to come? Well, the Bible gives us that answer. We can believe God. And isn't it amazing? You read about the prophecies of God that were written in the New Testament more than 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, and in the Old Testament, 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 years ago. And many times it's like reading the newspaper today, seeing those predictions come to pass. Now, I believe God. I believe God. I'm not one of these preachers that's going to spend my time telling you what the Bible ought to say, what God meant. Can I tell you something? God meant what He said. He said what He meant. And let me ask you a question. He's God. If He didn't say what He meant, why didn't He say what He meant? He did say what He meant. And we can just believe Him. We can just trust Him. Faith answers the question about the future. I know by faith from this blessed book that the next event prophetically on human calendar is the rapture of the saved. I know from that book after the rapture, the Antichrist will come to power and the tribulation time will take place. I know that the Christian is not going to be here during that 7 years of tribulation. We're going to be up there at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know that after the tribulation is over, at the end of it, Christ will come back on a white horse in Revelation glory. And we who have been raptured up to be with Him will come back with Him on white horses. And the battle of Armageddon will take place. And I know from this book that He'll set up His earthly... Hey, I know who wins that battle. It's in the book. Ha ha! And after that battle is over, I know what He's going to do with the Antichrist and the false prophet. And I know what He's going to do with old Satan. He's got a special place for them. He's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And I know what's going to happen after the 1,000 years. He tells us about all eternity. It's in this book. And a Christian living by faith has the answer about life and death, the will of God, and what our future is going to be. And all of that comes from God. Comes from God. Living in active faith answers unanswerable questions. Thirdly, living faith is active and produces positive results. It's active and produces positive results. James 2, verse 17 and 18 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man says, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works." Living in active faith puts the Christian into the harness of Christian service and giving. You don't live by faith if you're not giving your tithes and offerings. Every time I give my tithes and my offering, it's an act of obedience and faith in the promise of God. You're not living by faith in the living God if you're not serving Him. You're serving Him. That's what living faith is. It's not sitting and doing nothing and saying, "I believe God." It's living in such a way to show in your life that God is real and He lives in you. And you believe His precious word. Living faith must be exercised by our works and service. Living faith must be exercised. Faith never grows without exercise and use. I said a moment ago, some of you, after salvation, have never used the faith God gave you other than to be saved. So how do I get more faith? Start using what you have. Use what you have, start tithing. And He says, "Prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that the Lord you can't receive it." He says that or close to it. Put Him to the test. Try Him. Try Him. How long has it been since you've had a prayer answered? I'm talking about a prayer answered that you couldn't fix yourself. Use what faith you have. You say, "Oh man, I read about George Mueller and his faith." And guess what? George Mueller started out as a young Christian using what faith God gave him. And the more he used it, the more faith God gave him. And the stronger it became until he was able to feed hundreds of orphans and build millions of dollars worth of buildings and never ask anybody for one dime or for one meal. God just provided it. But guess what? He didn't start out to be that giant man of faith. He started out as a young Christian using what faith he started with, the faith God gave him to believe upon Jesus to be his Savior. He used that, and as he began to exercise his faith after salvation, his faith began to develop muscles. And he became a Charles Atlas of the Christian life. He became a strong man of faith because he used what faith he had as a young Christian. What have you ever accomplished in your life by simply trusting God? What has been accomplished through your life that you cannot attribute it to your ability or your finances or your know-how? It can't be explained except God answered your prayer and honored your faith. Anything called faith that does not prove itself by works and Christian service is not the Bible living faith. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to Hebrews 11. By faith Abel offered. I could finish it, but you can look at it. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Enoch pleased God. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Now you talk about faith. He preached righteousness for 120 years and built an ark. Hey, the ark building didn't take him 5 days. And it had never rained. And he had no Bible. He had no pastor. He had no church. He had a word from God, though. Noah built an ark. And that was enough. And some of you say, well, the Bible's not enough. God forbid. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed God and went out from Ur of the Chaldees, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Whew. By faith, Sarah conceived and delivered a child, being 90. By faith, Abraham offered his only son, Isaac. By faith, Jacob worshipped God. By faith, the parents of Moses hid him 3 months. By faith, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Faith helped Moses make the right choice. And I could go on and on and on. The Bible's full of illustrations of people who had real, living, active faith, being busy serving God, trusting God, obeying God, and depending on God. Living by faith produces positive results. Living by faith produces positive results. In Acts 16:5, the Bible says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Paul was called to go as a missionary to do something that had never been done. And he obeyed God by faith. And suddenly, churches began to spring up under his ministry all over the Near East, all over Asia Minor, all over parts of Europe. Not only that, he taught them and they were established in the faith And guess what happened? Those churches increased in number daily. They grew. I'm sure there were some people saying, you can't build a church here. It's never been done before. What makes you think you can do it here? Because he believed God. We've got the soothsayers today saying, you can't build a church today. You can't build an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church that preaches the Word of God and believes in holy living and sings the right kind of songs, that majors on soul winning and sending out missionaries. You can't build a church like that today. People want entertainment. That's phony baloney. You can't if you believe God. God will still increase the church daily. Living faith not only puts us to work, but living faith also works. It did in the churches the Apostle Paul established, and it will in our church when we operate by real living faith, trusting our great God, believing His Word. Matthew 9, Mark 2, Luke 5 tell the story about a sick man being carried by four to a house where Jesus was at. There's so many people around it, they couldn't get him to Jesus. And they crawled up on the roof, tore a hole in the roof, let the man down on a rope by ropes on his pallet at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says, Jesus looked up and saw their faith and said to the man of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. They had enough faith to believe if they could get that man to Jesus, Jesus would do the rest. And he did. He did on the basis of their faith. Their faith put them to work, but their faith worked. The man walked away with his bedroll under his hand, dragging his ropes, a new man, saved, and walking away under his own power. Living faith is a working faith, an active faith, a faith that really works. It gets the job done. God sees to it. Fourthly, faith that's alive and active helps us to be stable and faithful in our Christian life in spite of Satan's attack on us. See, living faith makes it possible for Christians to become stable and dependable and usable by God. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and build up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. God expects us to grow in grace and to be rooted into the Word of God and in the truth of God in order that we might walk in the truth and serve in the truth and live by the truth. One cannot separate living faith from faithfulness. You'll never find a Christian living by faith that's not faithful to serve their God in His church. A living faith makes it possible for us to defend ourselves from Satan's attack. Listen to the Word of God, Ephesians 6:16. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith in the Word of God, in the God of the Word. The Word of God is our shield. Believing the Word of God is our shield of faith. You can't separate the Word of God from faith, and faith from the Word of God. When Jesus was attacked by the devil, guess what he used? His shield. He used the Word of God to defeat and ward off the attacks of Satan. And God wants us to do that too. But if you don't have faith, and if you don't live by faith, and if your faith's not alive and active, you're going to become devil bait, not more than conquerors. A living faith makes it possible for us to defend ourselves from Satan's attack. Here's the reason for the unfaithfulness of so many and why they're so easily overcome by Satan and temptation. They're not living with a living, active faith. And one last thing, and I'm through. A living and active faith affects others in a positive way. It affects others. James is saying, when people, they see your faith by your works, and it helps them to understand what a relationship with God is. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, the world was looking at their faith, but what were they seeing? Their faithfulness, their service for God, their stand on the Word of God. They were not saying that the whole world is seeing your faith because they're busy sleeping under a tree or fishing or skiing or some other thing. They were faithful serving God. And they said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now listen carefully and I'll be through. If we're going to be the testimony for Christ in Arlington, Texas, and around this world, then we must have a living and active faith. Otherwise, our worship services will become dead and sterile and with no effect on the lives and the hearts of those who need it most. If our faith is not alive and active, our soul winning will be fruitless. A living faith in the life of a Christian is displayed by an obedient, trusting, submissive life of service that pleases God here in this world. A living, active faith is not displayed by a person that says, I'm going to live my Christian life the way I want to. No, it's displayed by a person who says, I want to live my life according to the Word of God to honor Him and please Him. An active, living faith makes it possible for the Christian to see the invisible, to touch the intangible, and do the impossible for our Lord. The question is asked in Luke 18, verse 8, by our Lord. He asks, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Paul warns us in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now this is what he said the majority of the world is going to be like. When Jesus comes, there are going to be people here who have departed from the faith. Jesus asked the question, when he comes again, will he find faith on the earth? If Christ is going to find faith on the earth when he comes, I want him to find it living and active and alive in our hearts. Here at Trinity Baptist Church, I don't want him to find a church that's just a shell of people who are empty and dead. I want him to find a people who believe him, who love him, who are serving him, who are looking for him to come, but are busy in the little time we have left to do everything we can to rescue the perishing and train them and teach them. If he should come tonight, what would he find in your heart? Faith that is dead? Faith that is inactive? That's never been used since you got saved? We defined active, living, trusting, obeying, serving faith in your heart and in your life. What are you doing in your Christian life that says faith is alive and active in here? What has been accomplished in your Christian life because you have stepped out on faith for God, while others said it couldn't be done? Well, I think he'll find faith on the earth. And I hope it's here at Trinity Baptist he finds it. I want it to be in my life and my heart that he finds it. When that trumpet sounds, and he steps out on that cloud to come back to pick us up, take us home to glory, I want him to find us active, trusting, active, obeying, actively believing, submissive to his word and his will. I want him to find faith in our hearts, alive, living, evident for him. What would he find in your heart? Father, that's our message this evening. Lord, I've preached a burden tonight. I want to see so many things accomplished at this church before you come again. And it's not going to be accomplished by a handful. It's going to take a multitude who believe you and trust you and obey you, and who's willing to submit their life to your will and your cause and your purpose. Let us look into our own heart and ask the question, is my life a testimony of dead faith or a living, active faith? A faith that not only works, but a faith that puts me to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the young Christians who are here. And help them to realize that you don't expect them to do what a 20-year-old Christian who has walked by faith for 20 years will do, but you expect them to use what faith they have and begin to serve you. Enough faith to get in church, enough faith to get faithful, enough faith to begin to learn the Word of God so they can obey the Word of God and the will of God for their lives. Speak to our hearts tonight. We might serve you and live for you and trust you and be faithful and fruitful till you come again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet tonight. As we